Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines with Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Christian advocacy, persecution, Erdogan, caliphate, Christianization, Israel, Russia, prophecy, world news, Pakistan, Chinese Christian leaders, Bilani, Nigeria, and Ten Commandments. So stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 26th day of September 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. You can follow us at Twitter by going to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And by going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com, you can read the featured post by The Watchman and listen to the latest shows. The featured posts this week are A Refuge in the Day of My Trouble. A Troubled America Needs a Refuge in the Day of My Trouble. Every American needs hope today beyond this nation, which has become compromised and in danger. The Redeeming Truth, Shall You Hear It? The Message of Mr. Trustwell Hope. Sow the Parable, the Anthem of Heaven, the Redeeming Truth, Shall You Hear It? The truth is clear, how the creature has fallen, but alas, how the risen Lord Christ has risen. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the latest articles or radio shows and to read the featured post by The Watchman. And tonight on our show, world events are heating up. Take a look at the Middle East and it will ensure your timing on the matter. Yet look also at the turmoil and sin in the nations. This is a sign as well, lawlessness. Tonight we cover Christian advocacy for the persecution of Christians, religious freedom push, Erdogan's caliphate dreams, and Erdogan's fight with Christianization. We also look at Christian leaders in China as they sign a major statement on belief. And in America, as a mega pastor heats things up with his own version of blasphemy. Further, we look again at Nigeria and the Fulani and the heated trouble in Syria, trouble with Russia and Israel in the Middle East. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour, latest news, articles, and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. It's great to be here again on Wednesday.
Yes, we are here, and we did have our first major frost. Whoopee!
Yay!
Always got to remember that. Yes, well, at any rate. And we did pull down part of the, most of the garden, and it was pretty much on the same time last year.
Yeah, it was. That's pretty funny.
It is. I didn't even look. So at any rate, we got it down, and our Boston Morrow did really good, and I call them the four brothers, four big squash. Boston Morrow is a heritage squash going back to the foundation of this country. The early pioneers used to really like it because they could grow a pretty big squash that would feed the family and it would keep well through the winter. And one vine can produce 30-pound one. Well, our biggest one is twice that, over 60 pounds. Then we've got a 40-pounder, 30-pounder, and a 20-pounder. So that's that. We have a bunch of turbot as well. But, you know, if you've never tried Boston Marrow, you know, I'd call you over and let you try some. I do just about everything with it. But at any rate, you know, we got the tomatoes in and a bunch of other stuff. And at any rate, we've still got a few things we got to get in. But, you know, the raspberry harvest was really good. The squash was really good. The tomatoes, you know, we had romas. We had huge romas. We had a couple of bushes of those. But, you know, we're doing all right. And we thank the Lord for that. But at any rate, we are in the advocacy. We are on these programs. We discuss the persecuted church and related matters. And, you know, Watan International in Egypt says, if any measure of peace between Muslims and Christians is to prevail, no church can exist in the village, a local Muslim said. The only houses of worship that can ever be built in this village are Muslim places of worship for Allah. And that is a problem that we see throughout the Middle East and a lot of other places.
Oh, yeah, it drives me crazy.
And, you know, in these predominantly Muslim and even the predominantly Hindu areas, the Hindus serve a lot of gods, but they do not like the Christian God and the Savior. Howbeit, a lot of Muslims and Hindus are coming to the Lord. And the Muslims and the Hindus that are left that don't accept the Lord turn into true enemies of the cross of Christ. And make no mistake about it, you know, we want to offer the Muslims, the Hindus, and everybody a chance to get to know the Lord. But the bottom line of it is we are not friends of the world system. We're not friends of other religions. And as Paul said, you know, to some, our message is an aroma of death to those who don't believe. But to others who do believe, we are an aroma of life. And that's
right,
the way
amen.
It is, you know. If a Muslim rejects our message, then we represent death to them, and they just adamantly hate Christianity. And, of course, this is what we report on around the world, and persecution pretty much is, it's been ramped up. Now, of course, we reported during the double blood moons 2014-2015, and that was a sign indeed, and that sign so far has shown us that the martyrdom of Christians would be one of the greatest, let's put it this way, more blood has been shed in recent memory from Christians at this time. And so it's, you know, it's really something to pay attention to. But for the most part, the UN continues to ignore the pleas, especially the ACLJ, who goes up there and makes requests on behalf on a lot of Christians and things like that. ACLJ.org. You need to visit that site.
It's full of Muslims, the UN is.
Yeah.
And they don't care about the Christians. They're not going to help.
No, they're not. Pastor of an underground church in Somalia said the Al-Shabaab are now hunting down the children in Mogadishu. We have moved the care center to a bit safer location. See, a lot of times they try to feed the ones that are starving and take care of them. Well, the Muslim extremists don't like that, so they will kill them. Take advantage of them. They'll steal the kids, the boys, in order to get them to join them, and they will take the girls for, you know, small duties until they get old enough to sleep with, which is about 9 years old. The children look devastated and malnourished, so we as a secret church do appeal to our brothers and sisters in the free world to consider extending a hand to these persecuted children. Now, see, we do cover news from a number of people around the world, and we do not give names, and the names that are used are used on purpose by the ministries that are dealing with them on the ground. And so, pastor of King Jesus Church in Pakistan, I like that, King Jesus Church.
Yeah, I like that too.
And I've seen that in Pakistan and in India. A lot of the Christian indigenous pastors, that they do get in your face with the names of the church. Pastor of King Jesus Church. I mean, that just tells you. And he said, it seems that the Muslims intentionally wanted to pick a fight with us. They do.
Yeah, they do. And they start the fights and they blame it on the Christians.
Yeah, and we've covered that enough. Dr. David Curry, who has Open Doors USA, says, despite the increasing conflict we've seen see intensifying in places like Syria, Nigeria, and Egypt, and all over the Middle East, God is at work in a powerful way. Thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ, and when a Muslim is seeking to know about Jesus, they come to us in search of a Bible.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and Bibles for the Mideast is another one you know, is another ministry that deals predominantly in the Middle East, and they deal giving out Bibles. And so, you know, you can help some of these ministries by doing that. Of course, if you, you know, we do advocate on here for the persecuted church, you know, find one of these and help them, support them. If you have a problem finding one, we can give you a little list of them that we recommend. But we are not a spokesman for these particular ministries that we may mention. We're not connected in any way. We don't take any money for them. We do have people that support us, but they support the ministry that we do. Not just as an advocacy, but as an end-time preaching, teaching, and warning agency to get the gospel out. And so that's there is a delineation in there that you need to know. Well, I guess you don't really need to know it, but I gave it to you anyway. So at any rate, you know, I see a lot of these things going on all the time, and it just absolutely, you know, I think of Cain and Abel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
International Christian Concern and did a story on acid attacks. You know, you and I have really, over the years, we've covered a lot of acid attacks.
Oh, I know. They're horrible.
And these stupid Muslims are so wicked, you know, they get so much hate in them. And that's exactly what Cain had in him.
And they think they're doing God a favor, when in reality they're damning their souls.
They are. So at any rate, you know, according, and this is in Egypt, which is not surprising, and you know, Egypt's had a lot of things, and, you know, it's been, what, a couple, 3 years ago when we first reported on the protests in Egypt under the other previous president, who is now in jail over there in Egypt. And right now, they're, you know, of course, the military stepped in, and they had a military coup d'etat, and now the guy is in charge of Egypt. But it was such a mess over there that... a Muslim Brotherhood who had come to power, you know, it was just a mess over there. Christians and churches getting burned. And a matter of fact, in one of the videos we saw, it had one of the four horses of the apocalypse, the horse of famine, that I think that's the one that was actually on the video. When this was beginning, but this, you know, this has been a couple of years, through 2 or 3 years ago, that this thing has gone on, and Egypt is still, for the Copts and the other Protestants that are there, it's a pretty tough thing that's going on. And these attacks, you know, have been going on, but, you know, it just, you know, people do not, you know, how can you have so much hatred?
Yeah, that's just beyond me. I can't understand it.
How can you serve a God that openly touts it's okay for you to kill others, rape others, be evil, you know? But as I was talking to Tower about this, you know, the Muslims come out of the line of Ishmael. The Jews come out of the line of Isaac. The promise went through Isaac. And our Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Savior, the Messiah, came through that promise of Isaac. And of course, the Jews that don't know the Lord follow the law given at Sinai, and it's known, of course, as the Torah, the Pentateuch, and it was given to Moses. Now, of course, the Muslims coming out of the line of Ishmael, they follow the law through Muhammad, and their generic name for God, which is Allah, which is a generic name. You can find the word Allah in others, but it's the interpretation of the word Allah and the fruits thereof. And when you get into the further revelation within the Old Testament of our God and our Father, his name is Yahweh, and Yeshua is the Son of God. In the English, you know, the Lord just said he's your Father, and we call him Jesus. In the Greek, it's Iesus, I-E-S-O-U-S. So that's kind of a breakdown, but see, the thing of it is, these Muslims don't have mercy because they've never experienced mercy and love. They serve a God of the law, and the law has no mercy. The law does not show mercy, and it's quite clear that the Lord said, you know, and even the law says, you know, I mean, by the keeping of the law, no flesh will be justified. And so this is diametrically opposed between what the Christian represents, and it's also diametrically opposed to what the Jews believe themselves, although they do believe that the Messiah is coming and they will come to know him. So this is a little bit of the thing. When you look at the Muslims and they're mean and nasty and they follow the law and they get so uptight about this, it's because that's what the law does. As Christians, Jesus, Yahshua, fulfilled the law, and we're saved by grace through faith. But yet, even in that, fulfilling the law, we are also, according to the Lord, if we love him, we'll keep his commandments, John 15. And of these, love is the royal commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, the Lord said. So we will be talking about that a little bit more, but the young man that had the stuff thrown in his face was Faraz, who was an assistant admin officer in a local hospital. And he was going home about 2 a.m., and some assailants came upon him. And, of course, this particular guy has been targeted numerous times, and he had been beaten by them. And, of course, we see this, especially in Pakistan, don't we, Tower?
Oh,
multiple persecutions.
All the time.
And, of course, as we want to remind you, Asa Bibi is still in jail for something she didn't do. And those who accused her, you know, accused her of blaspheming Muhammad when, you know, she didn't do that. So, you know, it's just a mess. So she, you know, her husband and children, she hasn't seen in, what, 9 years now?
Yeah. Well, I think he can visit her. I don't know, but yeah, she's been in prison for over 9 years.
But she's
horrible.
She's on death row, and the ACLJ is still bringing her name up, as is other ministries. We talk about her all the time, and we want you to pray for her all the time. Her and Pastor Brunson. And there's also some pastors and other Christians who are in Iran, in prison. We want their release, too. And according to Faraz's mother, she said that he used to tell her that some of his Muslim staff members were unhappy with his excellent performance and they disliked him for his honesty and Christian background. They probably wanted to steal something.
Yeah.
And she says, my son was running my kitchen. He was very gentle to everyone in the vicinity. He had no enmity. He was an active member of the church. However, he was unusually not given he was usually not given a day off to go to church for Sunday prayer services. My son was targeted for his Christian faith. I don't think we, the Christians, are safe in Pakistan. However, it is our country, and we love it with our soul and spirit. We won't seek refuge. We still want justice for the family, and most of the time, we've yet to see justice. It just don't occur. And this is where the rub comes in from the American standpoint. We should not be doing business with Pakistan and other countries openly are persecuting Christians, or for that matter, any other group, or limiting religious freedoms. We shouldn't do that, period. That's just all there is to it. You know, these people need to learn to get along. And, of course, when you're in the law of the Islam, you know, there's no room for the Christian to be equal.
Boy,
not at all.
That's for sure.
Of course, that's where I would run into problem because I'm an American Christian and believer, and I've lived all my life with rights like this. And so's Tower, you know. I would not be a friend, you know, in a Muslim nation under Sharia law. I'm not a friend of yours. You know, I want you to get saved and come to know the true and living God, but I don't agree with your Sharia law. I don't agree with the way you're treating Christians. And that's it, period. And I've talked to Muslims over here on an equal basis in America, and that's fine. But once you allow them to take over a country like Pakistan or Iran or even Erdogan, every time we see Christians persecuted, Christians beaten to death, treated mean, and all manner of evil happening to them. They become the Cains, and the Christian become the Abels.
Yeah, and I, being a woman, of course, I hate the way they treat their women.
Yeah.
I just would love to see the women rebel against that. Not that I'm not a feminist by any means.
Well, at any rate, no, you don't have to be a feminist. Well, we do have something that comes to us from a new ministry, a Christian ministry, and it's in America. And it is called the St. Charles Institute. Now, this has to do with the persecution of Christians in China and how a bunch of their Christian leaders got together and signed a joint statement standing up to the communist government there. Now, Tower, are you ready for this? Now, there's a lot of stuff highlighted. You don't have to, you know, through it, but just give a good summation as you do.
Well, these pastors in China have gotten together. They've signed a statement, a declaration for the sake of the Christian faith. And so far, 344 Christians and counting have signed, Christian leaders have signed this statement. And I'm going to read the statement. We are a group of Chinese Christians chosen by the Most High God to be His humble servants, serving as pastors for Christian churches throughout various towns and cities. We believe and are obligated to teach the world that the one true and living triune God is the creator of the universe, of the world, and of all people. All men should worship God and not any man or thing. We believe and are obligated to teach the world that all men, from national leaders to beggars and prisoners, have sinned. They will die once and then be judged in righteousness. Apart from the grace and redemption of God, all men would eternally perish. We believe and are obligated to teach the world that the crucified and risen Jesus is the only head of the global church, the sole Savior of all mankind, and the everlasting ruler and supreme judge of the universe. To all who repent and believe in Him, God will give eternal life and an eternal kingdom. In September 2017, the State Council issued the new regulations of the Administration of Religious Affairs and began implementing these regulations in February 2017. Ever since then, Christian churches across China have suffered varying degrees of persecution, contempt, and misunderstanding from government departments during public worship and religious practices, including various administrative measures that attempt to alter and distort the Christian faith. Some of these violent actions are unprecedented since the end of the Cultural Revolution. These include demolishing crosses on churches, on church buildings, violently removing expressions of faith like crosses and couplets hanging on Christians' homes, forcing and threatening churches to join religious organizations controlled by the government, forcing churches to hang the national flag or to sing secular songs praising the state and political parties, banning the children of Christians from entering churches and receiving religious education, and depriving churches and believers of the right to gather freely. We believe that these unjust actions are an abuse of government power and have led to serious conflicts between political and religious parties in Chinese society. These actions infringe on the human freedoms of religion and conscience and violate the universal rule of law. We are obligated to announce bad news to the authorities and to all society. God hates all attempts to suppress human souls and all acts of persecution against the Christian church, and he will condemn and judge them with righteous judgment. But we are even more obligated to proclaim good news to the authorities. I just lost my place. It moved on me. But we are even more obligated to proclaim good news to the authorities and to all society. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior and King of mankind, in order to save us sinners, was killed, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God, destroying the power of sin and death. In His love and compassion, God has prepared forgiveness and salvation for all who are willing to believe in Jesus, including Chinese people. At any time, anyone can repent for any sin, turn to Christ, fear God, obtain eternal life, and bring great blessings from God upon his family and country. For the sake of conscience, for the spiritual beliefs of the authorities in China and of society as a whole, and ultimately for the glory, holiness, and righteousness of God, we make the following declarations. I'm not going to read that to the Chinese government and to all society. But they have signed this declaration. No matter if they lose their life and all their belongings are imprisoned.
Yeah, and they state that in this, that they're willing to follow the path of the cross of Christ and more than willing to imitate the older generations of the other Chinese Christians who suffered and were martyred for their faith. That was under Mao.
Yeah.
And of course, when the Communist Revolution took place and ran out the other Chinese government, a lot of the American and other missionaries that were there were driven out. And this is the point where we thought that there was no church left. There wasn't many Christians.
But now here's 348 pastors and church leaders, Christian Chinese leaders, have signed that declaration. And they put their name down, their church down, where it's at. They're not ashamed and they're not afraid.
Well, you know, and they're facing real persecution
right.
and death. You know, they're not going to mess around there. And I look at the churches in America, how quiet they are many times. And the problems and them tolerating all this stuff that we tolerate and put up with you know, now, you know, I hate to be a broken record here, but Franklin Graham, and there are a few others. Dutch Sheets came out the other day. That's good for him. You know, there's a few now, but there isn't the overwhelming choir of churches saying, stop it in America.
There should be.
There should be.
They should quit worrying about being politically correct or offending somebody.
They need to get in. And many of them, you know, you could just say, well, this is the time of the Laodicean church. They thought they were rich and in need of nothing, but they're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line of it is that in America, you look at what the churches are, and you look at what the Christian churches in China are being persecuted with, and what these pastors are saying. I mean, you look, one says we're willing to die, and the other one says we're going to put up with this sin. We're not striving against sin. You know, Paul, you know, warned about that to some of the believers that he dealt with, and he says you haven't striven, you know, you haven't shed any blood in striving against sin. He openly told them that, you know, hey, have you shed blood? Have you been beaten up for your faith? What have you know? What have you suffered for the cross of Christ, America? Well, so far, in all the years that I've been in America, and Tower can say this too, we didn't see the onslaught of persecution like they're seeing around the world. And it's not that we want it suddenly, but I'm telling you, churches, that many times there's evidence that you are wanting. And I could put a little more blunt in that, but you need to take a heed here. I have a lot of stuff that we've warned the church over, so that isn't the show that we're doing tonight. We're advocating for the Christian churches, for the believers around the world, and we're advocating for these pastors. You need to pray for them. You need to pray that they will have a breakthrough, that communism will break down and be a little more lenient to them. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm sure Zhao Jinping, I think that's his name, whatever his name is over there, him and the communist government see the decadent West, and they don't want China to be the same way, so they're going back to the traditional roots of communism because they see how screwed up the West has become. And they would be right. If you look at America and the EU and the world from the standpoint of some of these other countries, they're saying, we don't want what you have because you are so filthy, so decadent. We don't want anything to do with you. So this is exactly why they would have done it, Tower.
Yeah, that's right. And you wouldn't blame them.
No. Well, you know, another thing, the last one we were talking about a little while ago was Pakistan, where that guy was killed. The acid was thrown in his face and it killed him. Well, International Christian Concern, this is one of theirs. They're celebrating along with the churches over there. The All Saints Church, that's where it happened. 130 Christians were killed and 600 had needed immediate medical attention. It was at 11:45 a.m., September 22nd, 2013. That's right at a church service. The Pakistani Taliban detonated a bomb in the church's courtyard. And this is, it's been 5 years. And
I remember that.
Yeah, so do I. And a widow with two children said, "I don't believe 5 years have passed without Robin, my husband. It seems he is around. However, it's reality. Living without a life partner is a challenge, and bringing up two children is a great responsibility.
I often
meditate, what if it would have not happened?" And, you know, I feel for this woman.
I do too.
Especially in Pakistan. You're not in America, and she's automatically in a society that looks down on women.
Yes.
So.
And they don't have the social help there that we do in America.
You know, so, you know, another guy said, I don't want to recall those moments of destruction. Even after 5 years of that bloody attack, I still feel my body shakes, my ears shut down, and my heart stops pumping.
Oh,
I have nothing
imagine.
More to lose, as the attack damaged my whole life. I buried 3 members of my family, and becoming a widow is unbearable and an agony.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a woman. So, you know, I mean, when we talk about, you know, poor American Christians and poor America, you know, you've been blessed, America. And, you know, if you're a believer and you're already supporting some of these, you know, God will bless you for it. And, you know, if you're not, think about it. If you can't, that's okay. Just pray for them. But do what you can do. Do more than you're doing now. And because, you know, we need to love the brethren, and we need to love them to help them. So, now you can find ICC over at persecution.org. And that other one, the St. Charles Street, you can look them up on the web. I like to tell you who this is, you know, in order to let you be able to connect with them.
Yeah, they're the St. Charles Institute.
Yeah. And, you know, another one we talk about, another ministry is 21 Wilberforce. And they actually work not just for Christianity, but to defend the freedom of religion and the freedom, you know, to speak, the freedom just to be free and do what you want to do. And in today's world, that's really hard.
Oh, man.
You get into some of these Muslim nations, and there was a recent one, and I can't remember who it was. They were voting to limit all the freedoms, and it was over in Uzbekistan, one of those places over there, because we do have the Forum, who is it? The Forum 16, Forum 18. At any rate, it's another organization that monitors all that. And they outlawed any and all other forms, just Islam. And, of course, they're persecuting Christians, Muslims, and anybody else. I don't know exactly what they are over there, but they were cracking down. And we do get stuff on Christian, on Muslims as well, that are going through very tough times. And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, within this, and, you know, Wilberforce, along with almost all of these ministries, have interviewed on-the-ground people, you know. Wilberforce interviewed Iraqi Christian and other religious minorities, you know, the issue is the same. They get persecuted, driven from their homes. They end up wind up living where nobody else will live. There's no bathrooms available, so they got to make do. There's no running water. There's no food. Nobody will hire them. And so they just dependent upon people who will take pity on them. And, you know, the stories are horrendous. Two Yazidi girls tell of the atrocities committed against them during their captivity by ISIS. We covered all of this.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, absolutely terrible, you know, from Boko Haram to all the others.
It's unconscionable. How can they do that?
Yeah. And according to stats from Wilberforce, they said up to 83% of people are experiencing some form of religious persecution. from marginalization, discrimination, and harassment, or death. And you think 83%, that's a pile.
It is. That is a lot.
And
that's like only 17% are not. That's just...
And the one thing that you have in the West, you have faith-based networks and ministries with millions of followers that they can use support to help others. And, you know, we have CBN has a big program of doctors and others. They support around the world. And, of course, Samaritan's Purse is another one. And they help a lot right here in America. Franklin was calling for help to go down in the recently hit areas down south because they needed more people. So while you're here living and listening to all the nuts that we have in the news every day, while Waters is shooting off her fat mouth, you know, while Pelosi and the other Democrats are figuring ways to stifle Kavanaugh, and while you have Stephen Colbert shooting off his funny mouth and constantly haranguing and criticizing Trump, there are more important things in the world. Stephen Colbert can jump in the lake, as can Waters and the others.
Oh, wicked. He is not funny. He's horrible.
And there are a lot of these people that don't know when to shut up and leave well enough alone. Then there's thuggish groups like Antifa. Now, I've got an article I wrote that kind of describes a lot of this. You get over to warren-usa.com and you can read it. Tower talked about it earlier. But, you know, there are important things for you to do. And that was one of the thing that Wilberforce is talking about here, trying to find a way to meet all of the needs. And that's what everybody wants to do. But if we're so self-consumed in this idiocy like America is, I'm going to tell you that God will judge this country because you are selfish, self-centered, and you don't look beyond your own nose.
And you know what's really sad? These things that people lust after are only temporary. It's the things that are unseen that are permanent and forever that we should strive for.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get through all of our stuff. We got quite a bit left, but we do want to go back to Pakistan. Pakistan is another, you know, I can't say enough about Pakistan.
That's that same guy you talked about.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I got him twice. Okay, well, good. We can move on.
You know, I think, do you want to do that mega pastor? Because I think that needs to be brought out too.
Yeah, I was going to do that after you do this
okay.
one. This is that. The Fulani. We talk a lot about Fulani, and that needs to be covered. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me. There was some 27 Christians, including a pastor, who drowned fleeing Islam attackers in northeast Nigeria. According to the Christian Persecution Watchdog World Watch Monitor, the attacks took place between September 16th and the 13th. My article keeps jumping away. And involved communities based along the Benue River. And a pastor, upon hearing gunfires and many of the villagers fleeing into the bush or drowned as they attempt to swim across the river. Nobody knows the whereabouts of these missing people since their dead bodies are not found. It is too early to declare them dead. We will give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe some of them may return home to their families. We can only hope that. A Reverend Garrison, he was the leader of the Boyaki Lutheran Church of Christ. He was one of those that drowned. More than 45 others reported to have been injured in the attack. And the survivors recall the moment of the Islamist gunmen when they stormed into their village and opened fire indiscriminately. My husband and I went to Newman to pick up our children around 2. said Rahab Solomon, a survivor from the village. At around 3 p.m. while they were on their way back, they heard the village was under attack and that three people had been killed. She said, we couldn't go back home because we were told that our house was burned. And many were shot as they tried to flee. And many of them ran into the river, but they can't swim. They couldn't swim, so they died. Those who could swim were able to survive, and we no longer have a place to call home. Right now, we are helpless. How tragic.
Well, you know, that's when you get into chaos like that and see these stupid idiots called the Fulani. And that's who it is. These are the Fulani herdsmen.
Yeah, and they tried to call security forces, but nobody came to their rescue. And they managed to put some of their families and children and women and the old people through the bush. And they were able to be saved, but now they're scattered. Some are taking shelter all over the place. They're no longer together.
Well, see, when you're a big, brave Islamist jihadist Muslim, and you are armed to the teeth, and you go into a village of innocent women and children and men who have no guns, you know, I mean, you're going to face every kind of hell for what you've did. You're going to look for paradise. You're going to wind up in Sheol, and you're going to face the wrath of Almighty God. And I'll tell you who will be sitting on that throne: Yahshua, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you'll be severely punished for what you did. And the fact that they were by the river and didn't even know how to swim—that is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I happen to have an uncle, and you know, and they had a pool in California, in Sacramento. So we'd go out there and visit, and I already knew how to swim. And my dad was, our family comes from an island, Catalina, and you know, he knows how to swim. And so one of the first things that I was taught was how to swim. And so it's hard for me to understand why people by a river don't know how to swim. But
yeah,
they didn't. And so, you know, this is the other part of the advocacy. These poor people, you know, what are you doing going into killing these people? And, you know, whenever you're having a revolution, there's always a lot of innocent people murdered.
Yeah.
And as we look at Revelation, there is a lot of people who are dying. And the Lord himself said that unless the days are shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. Well, today, you know, we still have a lot of humans and a lot of people left on this earth. But just think about the phrase that he said, no flesh would be left alive. And so there, and when he comes back in Revelation, it says he'll destroy those who have destroyed the earth. So there's people who are just like the damnable murderer that he was. And so Abel got killed by Cain, and we have a bunch of Cains in the world who were murderous thugs and heathen.
Cowards.
Cowards. And people actively plot to destroy the earth. And so you think about it. Who would be stupid enough to plot to destroy the earth? Well, I can think of some right now. Iran. They would use a nuclear bomb to get rid of Israel. And they wouldn't care about the cloud radiation and how many that it killed. They wouldn't care as long as Israel was destroyed.
Yeah. Well, you know about this, back to this Fulani. With all these incessant attacks on the Christians, it's led to hunger and starvation. And if these people don't get help, many of them are going to die of starvation. And earlier this month, two young boys were executed by Fulani militants while caring for a herd of cows. According to International Christian Concern, the boys, I cannot say their name, they were aged 10, 9 and 10, and they were committed followers of Christ. and that's why they were killed. 9 and 10. It's just horrible.
Yep. Well, at any rate, we're going to have to move on. So remember, this is another place to remember. Fulani, they are the herdsmen, the Muslim herdsmen. And
in
then
Nigeria.
There's also Boko Haram there that's caused trouble. There's Al-Shabaab around. So there's every kind of enemy.
You know, they said 250 people have been killed in the conflict over the past two months. 250 people. 125 a month.
Now, we're going to go to this mega pastor. Now, he is a pastor of a 34,000-member North Point Community Church in Atlanta. His name's Andy Stanley. He is the son of Charles Stanley. And so it's no wonder that he has such a big following. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that he tells his flock to unhitch from the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to argue with this guy over his rejection of the Old Testament. His story is that, you know, why don't we, instead of following the Old Testament, talk about other things out of the New Testament, like the Sermon on the Mount. Well, see, you know, he talks about love one another, which is good. But see, Christ gave us a lot, like I gave you earlier. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He just talks about the love commandment. But in John 15, the Lord himself said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Read John 15. But at any rate, I have always united in my teachings the old and the new, because it is a fact that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And in order to fulfill something, you can't throw it out, because there's a lot of stuff yet to fulfill.
Right.
Okay, some of the biggest types that we have of what's going to happen prophetically is found in the Old Testament. And, you know, to be this knuckleheaded when you're a mega pastor speaking to 34,000 Christians, if you want to keep them baby, if you just want to, you know, pat them over the head and you know, then go ahead and do this. But this is ridiculous. And of course, he's not alone. There's a lot of people like that. I categorically reject the fact that you throw out the Old Testament. That
yes,
is the
amen.
Dumbest thing I have ever heard. Matter of fact, some of the greatest things that you can do when listening to the Word of God is put on, for instance, the Psalms. And there are so many. You know, Paul tells us that those are things, are examples, so that we might learn from. That's what it's for. You know, I mean, people, I have heard so much in America from people in the ministry. I was in the Assembly of God, and nothing against the Assemblies of God. But I learned the politics of things and saw what was going on. But right from the start, I was on fire. And I've had the deacons look me in the face as they caught me on the stairwell and said, we don't like your kind here. You're too zealous for the Lord. See, and that's the way it was many years ago. And I'm still zealous for the Lord, and so is Tower. And the bottom line of it is that, you know, even though you may be zealous, you look back and there is so much to learn out of the Old Testament, so many things yet to happen. And when I go into teaching and preaching, I can always reach back in. And I've done extensive studies back in the Old Testament, and I can tell you, even the Ten Commandments that this guy says, do not, you know, you don't need the Ten Commandments. That is stupid.
You sure do.
The Ten Commandments, you'll have no other gods before me. Okay, that's New Testament, although that's found in the Old Testament. Okay, You'll have no other gods before who? Our God and our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is still relevant today. You shall not commit adultery. That's still good today. You get into Paul and what he talks about in Galatians about the lust of the flesh. You get into the children of disobedience in Colossians and Ephesians. You get your head out of the nether region and find out. And if you listen to some of our teachings, you will learn. But I'm telling you today, this is not an unusual case in America. We have a lot of weak-kneed, liberal, left-wing...
Modernized.
And, you know, this pastor may just be ignorant. And he may have a good reason. But, you know, to be honest with you, I don't care what his reason is. He's going to answer the Lord, and this has nothing to do with him. This has to do with... the fact that you need to make up your thing. You're not saved by keeping the law. You're saved by grace through faith. But Christ fulfilled the law.
Amen.
And in that, we can deal with, and even Christ himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Well, you know what's disturbing is, this is what one thing Stanley says. Participants in the new covenant, that's Christians, are not required to obey any of the commandments found in the first part of their Bibles. That's disturbing.
Well, that's also a lie.
And Ferrara calls Stanley his exegesis based on modern American Christian culture, traditions rather than the Bible. Yeah.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them out there.
Oh,
though.
Yeah, there are. There's
a lot of them about his age, too. And
what's he, about 60, I think? Yeah.
Well, there's some younger ones than that are even off the chart in their Christian faith. But see, God is going to bring things to America in order to get these people straightened out. And so he may be misplaced, but the God of the universe and our Lord is the one that will... straighten him out and straighten others out. Because in the bottom line of it is, you know, when you stand before someone who's going to kill you for your faith, there's going to be a big thing to answer.
Yes.
And so the Lord knows how to wake you up. And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines, and the study will be John's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistles, and of Jude, Part 3, Love of God. We love you, we pray for you, thank you for listening, and thank you for all you do for the living God. God bless you.
Yes. So, we'll see you, Shalom, tomorrow night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio. The Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is The Watchman, and for all of us here, Shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.